Welcome to The Antidote. This is Greg McCarron. It is Friday night, December 15th, and I am doing this recording alone. Want to give some thoughts on some of the many, many things that have taken place since the last time Jeremy and I recorded. Of course, the last time we talked was the aftermath of October 7th, what Jeremy refers to as the Simca Torah terror treason plot. And we gave our thoughts on some things. That was back in late October. And I tell you, this is quite a time for the antidote to go, I think, the longest we've ever gone without putting out recordings. And, you know, we apologize for that. There's been a lot going on recently, from logistics that has made it difficult to set up times to record, to things going on in personal lives. And so, you know, I apologize for the lack of productivity at this very important time where there's been a lot taking place. But, you know, we're hoping to get back to more regular recordings here very soon. But for right now, I want to come on and talk for a bit about some things that I've had my focus on here, monitoring things from the last couple of months. And, you know, here at The Antidote, we a lot of the time don't focus on just, like, you know, nuts and bolts on the ground. Like, for example, if there are many authorities, many, many sources that are laying out and describing and dealing with in depth the horrific human toll of the mass murder taking place in Gaza that has taken place ever since the events of October 7th. So, you know, there's other people to fill those gruesome, horrific details in. And I choose here to focus on looking at some of the things that have taken place from domestic politics here in the United States, and this will apply also to other Western countries, and as it relates to the situation, I think, in our countries, or at least for me as an American, I think this will also apply to some other countries, hopefully, in the Western world, as the events of October 7th very much are figuring into the aftermath, very much figuring into politics going on domestically, you know, here in the United States. And, you know, I want to focus on a few areas, including the politics of anti-Semitism are on steroids now, with, you know, being spearheaded by what we were really getting into before October 7th, the astroturfed nature, the false nature of the whole hashtag ban the ADL campaign that was going on in the lead up to October 7th, and some of the actions being taken on X, now X, formerly Twitter, by Elon Musk. And Musk has continued to be right at the forefront of shaping these narratives, of course, along, obviously, with the aforementioned Anti-Defamation League and standards on what is and is not anti-Semitism. And the battle has gone to the college campuses, with numerous major institutions, Ivy League institutions, in turmoil over protests. And it's really become center stage in our politics. And, you know, I saw this coming ever since the whole Yay West fiasco a year ago, actually, in November of last year, with you know, appearing with Alex Jones and putting out this idea of a presidential campaign. I had a feeling like we're going to be entering into, like, this is really going to pick up. And it took a while for it to, but, like, it started to pick up again in the lead up to October 7th. And then ever since then, it's escalated to such a significant level. And it's very important to, I think, have to discuss that and maybe try to get a bigger understanding of that from the perspective that Jeremy and I bring to it. And I'm also paying attention to the the damage that this has done politically to President Joe Biden, to where just the impotency and the weakness, at the very least, that's an understatement of the reaction to a mass slaughter of civilians and children taking place, and that's how much of an effect this has had on him, and where ultimately where Joe Biden is weakened is that strengthen the hand of somebody like a Donald Trump, who has taken advantage of this moment. So, you know, I want to get into these matters and the continued dangers that's being presented by Donald Trump, by MAGA, and this pushing of Haley as this respectable, quote-unquote, Republican opposition to Trump, and how that's, I think, destined to fail and fall flat on his face. And of course, and this goes back to the topic of Biden and just his impotency and his just really being in a very, very, very weak place politically. I mean, the worst he's ever been in, where you get to the point to where it's believable that this man may not even make it to the 2024 election. And that brings us to the compromising of the American political, of the American body politic, particularly Congress, and also elements within the administration, within the cabinet of the Biden administration, but particularly Congress and the government, of the Israel lobby and the control it continues to have over so many politicians, and the the continued just fealty and support for massive war crimes. And all of this interconnects, I think, and it plays into the bigger topic that we've been discussing of the manufactured intentional destabilization of Western societies as a means of weakening, I think, and ultimately destroying these countries from within. And that includes the United States, that includes countries in Western Europe. And, you know, we've talked about this global push for some type of global MAGA, some type of global Zio-nationalism. There's a lot of terms that could be used for it, but I want to, I guess, maybe try to interconnect these things a little bit. And I may come back and do another audio after this. Matter of fact, that's what I think I'll do. And right now I want to just focus on this whole politics of anti-Semitism really being on steroids here in the form of Elon Musk. And it's more than, I mean, anti-Semitism is at the center of it because of the nature of October 7th and the matter of criticism of Israel really being so prevalent because of the level and the depths of things that have gone on since October 7th. And of course, then there's even the question of Hamas, and you either support Israel or you support terrorism, and that's another problem altogether. And that gets into the whole, what we talk about with our horseshoes and this whole Russian multipolar push of placing Hamas on this pedestal as this heroic entity. And you see a lot of people pushing this from some of the people that will figure into this whole bigger conversation around weaponization of anti-Semitism and conspiracy culture in general, and merging of the left and the right in some areas. And there's some really good article I'll share on that matter about the increasingly indistinguishable hard left and hard right in some areas, and the merging together of some of these interests. You know, to throw a couple of names out there, you could take Glenn Greenwald and Alex Jones as an example of that. And you throw Tucker Carlson in there, and Jackson Hinkle, one of the people who's really lionizing this Hamas, heroic Hamas, standing up to the imperial Zionist bullies, the unipolar Zionist bullies. And you see this really playing out, and X is the primary platform to where it is playing out. And it's also created other interesting splits that we've been having our eye on for a bit, such as between Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens at the Daily Wire, and even the flirting and playing what would be called, you know, anti-Semitism from people like Charlie Kirk pushing this, the idea, you know, the Jewish leftists are, have all this disproportionate control over society, and they've been complicit in this whole generation of young people that hate Israel and hate the West, and then they in turn get praised by people like Nick Fuentes and their ilk, and of course, you know, the Trump and January 6th and events like that being in a continued interconnector between these types. But then now there's this split with the likes of Ben Shapiro, who have just been very, very overtly just you know, cheerleading for and pushing hardcore propaganda for the Netanyahu regime in its horrific, barbaric response to the events in Gaza. So there's a lot happening on this front, and once again, it comes back into, as I mentioned before, this whole Ban the ADL movement and Elon Musk being right at the center of this. And we've seen really X is just right at the battlefield of this, to where now it's to the point to where Elon Musk has reinstated Alex Jones's account, and there's a lot going on there. And now the politics of anti-Semitism have really been on steroids, have been brought right into the forefront of this bigger shaping of various aspects of the culture war, as well as the weaponizing of conspiracy culture. And now these culture war narratives and conspiracy culture narratives have become intertwined with, you know, Glenn Greenwald now openly talking about the Great Replacement as this reality and as Democratic Party, Democratic Party goal of replacing the native population. And it's not just a conspiracy theory. You've got Jimmy Dore recently saying that Alex Jones got bad advice from the CIA deliberately to discredit him about Sandy Hook, and it led to him being destroyed. And now you've got all these people that may be called post-left in some circles saying that Alex Jones has always been correct, and that, of course, now you've got Tucker Carlson, who some of us are old enough to remember when he ridiculed 9/11 skeptics, people who questioned the official September 11th narrative back when he had his MSNBC show back in the Bush era, saying Alex Jones was right all along, and many other people as well. And this is, and once again, just the epicenter of this is Elon Musk's ex, and Elon Musk being a figure who went to Israel, I think, this whole matter of rebuilding, using his means to help, quote unquote, rebuild Gaza after this death and destruction is finally over, whenever, you know, it ends. But then also telling the CEO of Disney, Bob Iger, and other people who take their advertising off of X to, quote, fuck off. I believe that was the term he used. And creating this this dichotomy, or this paradigm, this what's the type of word I'm looking for? This you know, this parallel thinking in the minds of people, maybe double think, maybe there's a term for this that I'm failing to come up with at the moment, and I know it's something that duality, you know, just the double, the inability to figure out, like, to distinguish between dueling thoughts of, on one hand, he's with Benjamin Netanyahu, but then on the other hand, you know, like, there's still this idea of people who subscribe to the more, you know, maybe the anti-Zionists, the types of people who are very much on this whole ban the ADL beat that has been getting discussed, have been discussed a lot. A lot of people who maybe fall in, like, a more pro-Russian, anti-Zionist type of context, the anti-Zionist culture warriors, the COG advocates, Catholic occupied government advocates, like, as we call it, like Nick Fuentes, their ilk, very much, there's there's a conflict between basically going over and endorsing Netanyahu in Israel after this in late November, and then telling the woke globalist CEOs to fuck off if you pull your advertising off of X. And so there's a lot of conflicting thoughts there, and conflicting efforts to try to make sense of various things going on with that. So I hope all of this makes sense. You know, I'm just kind of going off the cuff here, and I really want to get something out since it's been a while. So this goes back into some of these bigger trends that we've been following for a long time, in terms of even going back to the long-term conflict over, you know, anti-Semitism and the way it's been weaponized for a long time now. And something Jeremy and I were identifying with this whole hashtag ban the ADL prior to October 7th is these types of this hashtag ban the ADL movement and these other similar, very much interconnected types of narratives, I think in a lot of ways ultimately advance these proto-Zionists, these hardline, these really serious Zionist elements, ultimately, I think, benefit from the weaponization of what is called anti-Semitism. And that goes all the way from the idea of the collective, in many ways monolithic, you know, Jewish conspiracy, to where there's no attempt to distinguish between the people that are carrying out mass slaughter in Gaza and the rest of the Jewish population, or even the way that someone like Nick Fuentes will celebrate Charlie Kirk, saying that leftist Jews are financing the destruction of Western civilization through aiding and abetting, financially and otherwise, people who are anti-Israel and have a common hatred of Israel and of the West, and the way that they get praised for something that I think is very obviously a way to attack the left, the enemies of MAGA, the enemies of this burgeoning global MAGA on a global scale, this pseudo-nationalism, this with all of these interconnected tentacles that are in place that are all taking part to help escalate and hasten the destabilizing of our societies. And this goes back into the the longer term weaponization of anti-Semitism. And a lot of people, I think, just willingly or unwillingly are not really trying to understand this, because it's so critical to so many areas that that are at the forefront of issues that are going on. And once again, going back to the global culture wars and an inability to distinguish the actions of the Netanyahu government, of this really hardline elements in Israel, from people that are seen as pushing woke degeneracy and the destruction of borders and the destruction of ethno and racial nationalism and all of this, and the people that want to overrun your borders with the flood of people who don't look like you that are going to pose a terrorist threat in all of this. There's no attempts to distinguish between these entities and elements. And that brings me to something else I want to bring up here about Israel. And I believe that much like a lot of the differences or a lot of the things that have happened in American society in recent years, the switch and just how far things have moved with, like, you know, basically a foreign takeover, I believe, of the Republican Party with the rise of Trump and the installation of Trump and all this influence and the party going in the direction of MAGA and Trump completely. And we've talked about this on a number of occasions before, where the GOP has been long been a as an organized institution has long been detrimental, but it really gotten much worse in recent years, to the point to where Liz Cheney is a voice of sanity, which obviously she's not, but that's how bad the discourse has gotten, where she's the only person in touch with reality on stage at a Wyoming Republican primary. But I digress. And it's similar to what's happened, I think, here in the U.S. and in other Western countries. In Israel also, I don't think you have such a... my sense is this is a different level of bloodthirst than we've seen in the past. And it's not to downgrade or anything that's happened in the past, like previous mass bombings of Gaza, what's been called cutting the grass, and some of these other invasions and bombings, which have these massive disproportionate civilian casualties, and always children in particular, civilians and children suffering the brunt of these attacks. But I think there's something different here in terms of, and maybe in part it's because, you know, there was actually an actual attack carried out on Israel, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, what went down there, and in terms of who was responsible and who may or may not be complicit. And, you know, we talked about that. Jeremy talked a lot about that in our last recording, but I'm not going to get into that here now. We may go back and revisit that. And there's a lot of interesting questions there, but it goes back to that aforementioned celebrating of Hamas as this heroic entity that I think is really a major problem. And that might be something else we need to get into and talk about in the near future, is some of the narratives of another thing, like the inability to distinguish that it's all black and white. It's really nuanced and a lot of shades of gray in terms of like the good guys and bad guys, quote unquote, and as it relates to all that. But I digress. And going back to my point, there's the shifting, which has been in place, but it's gone on ever since like the moving to the right of more, I think, moving more in a direction of like this hard line. Hardline elements moving to the right with the rise of Likud and the bringing in of these immigrants from the former Soviet Union and the shaping and the changes in Israeli society that's been pretty documented in a lot of areas. We've talked about here on The Antidote and in other places it's been discussed as well. Moving and changing Israeli society, and even more recently the Netanyahu government basically letting in the hardliners, Itamar Ben-Gvir types, as a means of, I think, in part, political expediency, almost out of a necessary move by Netanyahu government, as a means to kind of a CYA cover your ass while he's in all this legal limbo and legal jeopardy. And also, in much like I think what's happened here in the U.S., an inevitable result of really... of messing with and moving and playing around with this shifting, really, of moving in a much more hardline direction on cultural matters, on, you know, quote unquote national security matters, and so it's something that's not new. It's been in the seeds have been planted for this for quite a while now, but this particular reaction, I think, has been escalated and exacerbated, made worse even because of this, of these collective moves within these, within Israel, and that goes back to what we've been dealing with our own domestic destabilization. And remember, in some ways, maybe the Netanyahu government was on the brink, or Israel was on the brink, with all of these mass protests over the judicial overhaul that was taking place prior to October 7th. And I think that's kind of gone on the back burner now, although I imagine that will pick up again as a lot of people are, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu is very much in a very precarious situation, I think, with it's so many different areas as far as his holding on to power. But that brings up another flaw, which is people, you know, then you've got a whole group of people that say, well, yeah, Bibi's got to go, but we've got to support Israel, and Israel must win. So going back, though, I don't think that a lot of what you see is possible without this. Going back into the rise of MAGA and the rise of the the pushback, the artificial astroturfed pushback to rise in liberalism, I think, basically. And, you know, and it then gets really, it becomes a focal point of the criticism of quote-unquote anti-Semitism on college campuses and other places in this effort to equate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. And only one member of Congress, by the way, voted against that, Thomas Massey from Kentucky, this resolution to basically equate anti-Zionism as anti-Semitism. And, you know, Massey, there's some, I don't know, there's some things about him that are off, to say the least, but, you know, props to him in that regard. And other people voted present, some of the more outspoken people about the mass murder taking place, such as, you know, squad members and other Democrats, I think, voted present. But anyway, Thomas Massey voted against it, and so props to him on that. But this push to really make anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism one and the same is really being used, I think, to really turn up the temperature and escalate the fight that's been taking place. This big part of, I think, the cultural and destabilizing of our societies through this artificial astroturfed culture war and the war on the elements of you know, liberalism and of the established bipartisan norms that we've gotten into talking about so much. You might call it the post-war order and all of this. And we've talked about the unipolar moment versus the multipolar moment and being neither nor here. But a big part of this whole push with anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism and making the politics of anti-Semitism on steroids right in the forefront of all of this is playing a focal... Ooh, excuse me for that. Playing a focal role in just exacerbating and further escalating these tensions that are taking place that are being used to destabilize society. And we've got the likes of Elon Musk and now the reinstatement of Alex Jones and the continued weaponization of conspiracy culture to the point to where, you know, Pizzagate is becoming a more or a... Maybe a watered down version of it is becoming more acceptable for people to talk about again, as far as making its return in the public discourse, and just really, I guess it's Steve Bannon's whole mantra of throw shit at the wall and see what sticks, and not being able to make sense of narratives and narrative warfare and psychological warfare. It's never gone away. As a matter of fact, it's really escalated and increased in recent years. I think even since 10/7 it's really increased. And so this is a very dangerous trend that we see going on here. And I think I'm going to begin to wrap up here. And, you know, I hope I'm making sense here with what I'm laying out here about the 10/7 attacks, really, the events of 10/7 and the aftermath, really... really heating things up as far as this intentional destabilizing of America, this destabilizing of the United States and of the West that's been in place. We've talked about with 11/9 and other things as well, but I hope this all makes sense, and something definitely we're going to continue to keep an eye on, as I think, you know, Jeremy and I, we don't have all of the answers and we don't have a perfect perspective on this, but I think we've been a bit prophetic in trying to really keep an eye on this with the whole yay thing, and we saw the turning up of the culture war aspect of this with you know, Ron DeSantis. I always go back to Ron DeSantis saying Florida is where woke comes to die, and of course the ban the ADL types are ultimately, I think, pushing some variation at a higher level, as much as they profess to be against him, what the Ron DeSantis types are doing, just that it's under this whole guise of being pro-Israel versus being anti-Israel. But then it comes back through a figure like an Elon Musk, who a lot of people are having a very difficult time making sense of, because he is, you know, playing both sides or whatever, or he's stringing the Zionists along or whatever narratives or whatever ways people frame it, or how they go about framing it. So, you know, I hope this makes sense, and we'll definitely get back into talking more about this. And I might come back and talk some about the, I think the discrediting and the serious damage that's been done to the Biden presidency and to, you know, democratic normalcy and maybe moderate liberalism, or that's already kind of, I think, on its last legs as far as society moving more in polar opposite directions to the quote hard right or quote hard left, and the damage that's been done just since 10/7 with the impotent and weak, those are understatements, reactions to the aftermath of 10/7 and the massive human destruction that's taken place with the massive casualties and the massive slaughter of civilians and children. Might come back on soon and talk about that for a while. Might also get back into the dangers of an increasingly mentally unstable Donald Trump. You know, Joe Biden's not the only presidential candidate or president who's lost, who's losing control of his cognitive abilities, you know, who's declining cognitively, and the continued danger that that poses, and that figures right back into this, what we talked about on this audio, what I talked about on this recording of the weaponization of anti-Semitism and all that's been going on since 10/7. And, you know, Trump's right there waiting in the wings still, and the bigger movement and the bigger factors at play with, like, they continue to go on with the rise of Trump and the aftermath of 11/9 and the aftermath of January 6th and the post-Trump America and all of that. And I might come back and talk about those things soon. But in any event, you know, I hope that we're both able to start recording more frequently again here. As we end 2023 and go into 2024, again, I apologize for not having more put out, because, you know, this is a time where a lot of things have happened. We didn't even cover the death of Henry Kissinger, among other things. I mean, there's a lot there, and, you know, there's a lot of things we've missed out on, but hopefully as 2023 comes to an end and we get into 2024, we'll be able to become more consistent again. But in any event, I want to put this out now, and I may come back very soon to follow up on this and talk some more about these other factors that are going on that I see as important in tracking the aftermath of 10/7 and everything that's gone on since then, and not only the death toll and the human destruction that people have done a very good job of documenting in a number of areas, but also the effects it's been having on our own societies here in the West, of those of us who are in, you know, Western countries, who continue to also be affected by these events that take place. And so anyway, until I talk to you again, you know, I am out. Antidote. Thank you for listening.